Hello, everybody, recording live from somewhere. This is the Fried Cook on Venus podcast. I'm your host. My name is Scott Anderson. I am a dreamer, a storyteller, a Renaissance man, and above all else, I'm a nice guy trying to not finish last. Thanks to you for checking out the program this week. If it's your first time, I do hope you enjoy the experience. And if it's not your first time, I hope you get a chance to support the show. How can I do that? You might find yourself asking. Well, you can do that in a variety of ways. In fact, a plethora. You can do it in a plethora of ways. Number one, you can leave a nice rating or review over in the world famous iTunes store. Just write a quick little thing, LOL. It doesn't even matter. Just please hit that 5-star button, and I would be greatly appreciative. If you really like the show and want to hear it every single time it comes out and have it delivered to you for free, you can hit that subscribe button over in iTunes or in the BlackBerry podcast app. And I think we're in the Windows store now. Can somebody check that? I heard the rumors, but my Nokia is still running on a weird operating system. I apologize to myself, really. This is just sad at this point. If you have friends on social media or in life, please tell a friend to tell a friend about the show. And the best way you can support us is heading on over to our website and hitting the like button for us over at thatcsaguy.podomatic.com. You know what sucks? Homework. I mean, in the grand scheme of life, it's probably really beneficial and probably helps you out immensely. But, like, the idea of someone paying money to do 3 months of additional homework when they could be having a summer vacation is a terrible idea. I mean, what type of idiot would willingly do that to himself? Ha ha. Ha ha. Yeah. Not so smart. Not my best idea. I recently just finished my first week of my third semester of grad school, and it's May, and I can't help but find myself miserable. I don't know why I didn't take a summer break like every other person I know. But hey, what can I say? I am a leader and an idiot at the same time. Now, it's not that the first week was immensely hard. I just would really rather be sleeping somewhere, to be honest with you. And I think the most difficult thing so far is the fact that my whole crew of people is not in this class with me. I mean, the class itself is comprised of about 12 people and a professor. It's ridiculously too small for me. Like, I like to sit in the back, and the back is the second row in this class. I can't slouch. I can't sleep. I can't show up late because everybody knows everybody. It's not the same. And plus, I don't have my usual set of comrades to crack jokes with during the middle of class. For example, I think it was Tuesday morning, this professor was talking about how our lectures have been extended because our total semester is shorter. We only have 3 months, which is pretty cool, so I get all of August off, but all my lectures are about 3 hours and 45 minutes long. I mean, throw in some breaks, and that's still gonna stretch out to, what, 3 hours at least? I think the quote was, "Boys, I don't know if I can last 3 hours with you." That's a quote. That's what he said. Now, in my mind, this is funny, so I sat up in my chair and looked from side to side for anyone to verify the hilarity of what this man just said, and there was no one. I missed the crew, man. It's not the same. It's gonna be a long 12 weeks. So if you get a chance, please feel free to say a prayer for yours truly if you're into that prayer stuff. And if you see me in life, please just hand me money, because Lord knows I need bus fare. Today on the show, I'm not letting anyone else touch the mic, because I have a story that I think is worth sharing. If you've been following me, you know, in life over the last few days, you know that recently I found myself in Maple Leaf Square, aka Jurassic Park, cheering on my Toronto Raptors in the NBA playoffs, and quite the time was had. So without me even trying to tease you with what you might hear in this story, I'll throw it to you like this. Submitted for the approval of the Midnight Society, I call this story Game 7. So, a few days ago, my beloved Toronto Raptors found themselves in Game 7 of the first round of the NBA playoffs against the Brooklyn Nets. Now, I picked Toronto to win in 6. However, we severely screwed up Game 6 and found ourselves having to play Game 7 at home in Toronto in front of a raucous crowd, which was fine by me because luckily I had a week off of class. So, I was like, cool, since I never have any plans early on Sunday morning, I think I might have to go downtown to the ACC. I mean, logically, I owed it to myself to head out to a Raptor game. I mean, I hadn't been to one all season. However, as a poor person, the odds of me actually getting into the arena were very slim. But that's cool because it's the playoffs, and in this city during the playoffs, you get a chance to stand outside the arena with a few thousand of the craziest, most intense sports fans in the city in what we like to call Maple Leaf Square, or as we renamed it for the Raptors this year, Jurassic Park, which I'm sure is copywritten by someone named Steven Spielberg, but I digress. I wanted to be out there with those people, so after very little debating, but debating nonetheless, as I found myself tossing and turning and trying not to have a nightmare involving the prettiest girl I've ever met, I decided I was going to head downtown for sure. I mean, best case scenario, I would get to witness the most important NBA game in Toronto history. And at worst, well, I suppose I get a free t-shirt, right? So hey, how could I lose? So around 8:45, I rolled out. I got to the arena at about 9:10 in the morning for this 1 in the afternoon game. And there was already at least 100 people in line in front of me to get into the square. It was nuts. But it wasn't that bad because anytime you find yourself in a group of like-minded people, it's not that bad. Even if you have to wait for like an hour to get to where you're going. It's like if you go to a concert with a bunch of people who love the same act that you're about to go see. It's really easy to make friends. We got to enter the square at about 10 o'clock, which was still 3 hours before the game. And most normal people would probably walk around the square, you know, see the different activities and booths that were set up. So, you know, try to kill time. But me? Nah, I'm good. I posted up right at the front of the crowd and had no intention of being moved until that game was over, yo. And free advice to anybody who goes to the square in the future or to any music festivals, the best place you can stand is by a barricade because eventually you're going to want to lean on something. So take that for what it's worth. An hour goes by, we get to 11, and the DJ comes up. Shout out to him for getting that place instantly turned up. I mean, it was nuts. Imagine being outside on a Sunday morning, not even in summer, and just being wild, just reckless. Just, it was nuts, man. We turned into Sparta. It was crazy. I mean, this one dude near me was on this level of permanent hypeness. He was on perma-hype. It just blew me away. He started every single chant while we were there. Like, at one point, there was this dude who looked just like Tupac. And when I say just like Tupac, I mean very little like Tupac. If anything, he looked like Nate Dogg with a bandana on, but whatever. Because perma-hype dude started chanting, get on stage, get on stage. And all of us, following his lead, were chanting, get on stage, get on stage. It was nuts. And then Tupac eventually came over and asked for something to smoke on. So shout out to Tupac. I'm sorry I let you down because I'm totally the wrong person to ask for that. Also, quick shout out to trap records and hip hop songs that I would never play on my own. Like, I don't really mess with 2 Chainz or French Montana, but yo, when you've got 10,000 people behind you, let me tell you, that high stuff is the most amazing thing ever. Like, yo, I don't know what that song was called, but if I ever find it, I love it. Trust me. Trust me. Fast forward to when the game starts. We're, at this point, out of control. I ended up standing with, like, some good dudes around me, just some really hype guys who are on the same level of Toronto sports fanaticism as I am. So that was really cool. I found the infamous dudes waving the Guyanese flag outside the Raptor game. I don't know why they had their Guyanese flags, but on behalf of Guyanese people, let me tell you, there's never a flag that is ever that far away from us. I think we keep them in our back pockets 24/7. I don't know. We're just a proud bunch. What can I say? Also, there was this one girl standing next to me who I'm sure used to read the news regularly on City TV. I don't know her name, and I was going to ask her, but she was totally hugging up some dude and like, yo, I had to respect the next man's space. You know, I can't be like asking questions about, yo, do I know you from somewhere in the middle of some serious hugging? So, you know, I backed up. So the first quarter, crazy. Second quarter, third quarter, Raptors start getting trounced. But somehow, in typical Toronto fashion, just when you think it's all over, hope shows up. And in the fourth quarter, with 6-point-something seconds left in the game, we cut the lead to 1 and then steal the ball back. And the crowd goes absolutely wild. See, here's the magic of watching the game in the square. I mean, when you're in a house or out with some friends at a bar, you can cheer, but only up to a level where you don't look and sound like a crazy person. Out here, though, like, look, try this. Flex every muscle in your body. Start with your toes, roll them, curl them, however you gotta flex them. Then tense up your legs, you know, the booteus maximus region, abs, flabs, arms, rhomboids, trapezius muscles, face, everything. Flex everything. Now inhale deep, and then imagine letting out the loudest, longest scream you've ever let out. Now imagine 10,000 people around you doing that same thing spontaneously. It's the craziest feeling I've ever experienced in public. I mean, regular listeners of this show know how much I love partying at Oshiega in Montreal, but Toronto won the crown back here, man. It was unlike anything. And then, also in Toronto fashion, our would-be game-winning shot did not go in, and we lost. I mean, I remember yelling, no, like I was Rick in The Walking Dead watching Herschel get his head cut off, or like when Ned Stark in Game of Thrones got his head cut off. At one point, I fully dropped down into a squat and just had to cover my face and hide the swear words that were coming out. This was when I realized, actually, how much of a sports fan I am. Have you ever watched a sporting event where, like, a team will get eliminated in their own arena in 15 to 20 minutes after the game? There's still these loserish fans sitting in the stands just looking shook. Yeah, apparently that's me. I mean, I was leaning on my barricade spot, watching people walk past, just feeling utterly hopeless in life. I mean, I saw this one girl crying. I saw some dudes cussing into the TV cameras that were asking them, oh, how does this make you feel? Which is a stupid question after your team gets eliminated. Yo, I would have been cussing too. I saw some next dudes kick over a garbage can. Then, like, one guy was trying to walk over the garbage can and his shoe totally just fell off and he kept walking. I mean, it was a bad scene. So bad that after about 15 minutes, when I left, dejected, although I did get a free can of Sprite, shout out to Sprite, I did find myself walking with Canadian TV personality / legend Cabral Richards, aka Cabby, and like, I was so bummed out, I couldn't even say hey. I mean, imagine two of the funnier people in the entire city of Toronto walking next to each other for a sustained amount of time, and neither of them able to make a sound. It was bad, man. It was not a good place to be. Luckily, though, as I crossed the street and made it in line to my bus, I met Macklemore, aka some drunk dude who totally left his house looking just like Macklemore. I mean, this dude, like, he cheered me up immediately because, one, he looked like Macklemore, and two, he gave me a really good pep talk. I mean, we both fully went through the sadness we'd both experienced, apparently together, and long story short, shout out Macklemore, man, because he gives great pep talks. I mean, if you ever found yourself feeling down, find him, and he will help you feel better about everything in life. And just when you thought the day was done and everything was over, as I'm pulling into the driveway, I got two texts from my dad, the first of which came at 6:06 p.m. as I read from my phone, and I quote, saw you twice on CTV News. The second, 6:07 p.m., need to shave. See, kids, apparently, me, what was left of my exam beard, and my depressed Toronto sports fanaticism were on display for the entire fourth biggest city of North America to see on one of the most watched newscasts out there. And, like, I should have known, because at one point, I had my hands in prayer position in front of my face, and I could see the TV cameras just, you know, staring at me. And I remember telling myself, don't move, man. This is going to show up somewhere. And apparently, all over the TV, That was a positive. The negative is the tan I got on my face, because the thing is, sun can burn you. Basically, my forehead is lighter than the rest of my face, except for this one hole right in the middle of it, because silly me was wearing a snapback hat, and basically my forehead just looks absolutely ridiculous, and my heart is broken. And I want to say there's always next year, but this is Toronto, and we say that every single year, and I need a hug. I mean, for a few minutes, it really was like Christmas. In fact, it was better, because on Christmas, you never see anybody jumping up and down, cheering, hugging a series of random strangers. But then, on the other hand, it was like the worst breakup ever. Just heart ripped out of your chest, and then somebody punts it 50 yards in the opposite direction, tells you to catch, and then laughs at you like Nelson Muntz. It was a rough day, man. It was a rough day. But an adventure, nonetheless. I'm a dreamer, a storyteller, a Renaissance man, and a nice guy trying to not finish last. I'm also a Toronto sports fan, so by default, I am miserable most of the time. I apologize for this, but it's part of what makes me me. Sometimes I really hate being me. I gotta move, man. Does anybody have like a really dominant sports? I should move to Boston and just be happy, you know? I just want to be happy. That's all I want. Just a team that wins in life. I can't imagine what it's like to not be a sports fan and just be content when Team Senior City win or when they lose. What a magical existence that must be. And I want absolutely no part of it. Amazing. Anyways, before we go, let me hit you with the links. Check out youtube.com/geniusboy88. You'll see some footage from the square, actually. You can check me out on twitter.com/thatcsaguy. Remember to head on over to thatcsaguy.podomatic.com and click like to support the show. And yeah, just be happy. Just be happy in life. There's always next season. Nope, still can't say it. Anyways, that wraps it up from here. You have been listening to the Fry Cook on Venus podcast. And before we go, no one is on their deathbed saying, "I wish I laughed less." Thank you, Anthony Jeselnik. We'll be right back.